Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to the Metaverse Podcast. It's been a while since we did one of these. I can't even remember when. But nonetheless, we are here for episode 39. I'm J-Ro. Bo Shizzle is here.
Hey.
Min is here.
Hello.
And Highway is here.
Hello.
And we are all going to be talking about these shows that aren't being blogged on Metanorn. We cover a lot of shows, but there are so many more that we just don't have the time or maybe the dedication to blogging on the site. So that's what we're going to be talking about on this episode of the podcast, all of those shows. But before that, there is some news that I would like to bring up. The first being about Anunatsu de Madaru. There was an announcement that there was a new anime coming, and as it turns out, it's going to be an OVA, which is better than what I was initially thinking it might have been, a new series, because a little bit of a conclusive ending, and what would the point be if they did a season two, but an OVA should be just fine.
Yeah. I wish Sword Art Online Season 2 would do the same thing, but whatever. Just an OVA.
I think an OVA is perfect for Anonatsu, because it's the same problem with Onegai Teacher. I mean, same series, but that it just went from one thing to the epilogue, and the epilogue was a complete turnaround, and it needs something in between there.
Yeah. I think the only thing you could do for the other season is bring in more aliens, but even that's kind of a stretch.
And on the subject of sequels, Gargantia on the Verdurous Planet, we've known that there was going to be more anime, but now we know that instead of a new season, which maybe some people hoped for, it's going to be another two-episode OVA series, and they have a picture right now that shows Red with two new girls in the series, and we got to assume that, well, some of the main characters will be back, like Amy, etc., etc., that maybe these new girls will be the focal point.
The harem is growing.
Yeah.
that's interesting. I didn't know that. Well, I guess that's kind of disappointing, but better than nothing.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot to be explored in that universe.
Right.
And even if it was a shift in genre from what was kind of a sort of an action sort of drama anime into almost kind of slice of life with Red sort of accepting his role now just living on Earth.
Right.
Slice of life would have been perfect on that show. I would have loved to see that.
Yeah, definitely.
It has been 6 years, I believe, if I'm correct, since Macross Frontier aired, and we know now that Macross will be getting a new TV series. We don't know exactly when or any details of it other than more Macross sometime soon. Yay,
I'm happy. More singing, more war, more robots, more love triangles. Same old.
Is it going to be directed by that same guy who did AKB and Macross?
I would think so, but maybe they might bring someone new and get some fresh blood in there. You know, I see something different. Instead of the same old stuff.
And this last one is a correction of, or actually an admittance of wrongful predicting on Foshin my part, is that Crunchyroll has been adding old episodes of One Piece, so they've been going in each week adding about 20 to 30 episodes, so that'll be great. By, I think in another 20-some weeks, they'll have the entire 600 and by that time, 40 or 50 plus episodes of the series available, and that would be pretty neat.
Yep, so catch up now. I'm just kidding. It takes forever. It took me, I don't know, 3 months to get caught up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's crazy.
Totally worth it, in my opinion, but I can understand the fear of that many episodes to watch.
Oh, definitely.
It's like Hajime no Ippo. What, I gotta read another 600 chapters? In addition to the 400 that have been covered in the anime.
Right.
All right, so let's talk about some of these anime that have not been blogged on Mendorn. Maybe we did first impressions of these, or they kind of fell off after a little while, so we're going to touch base on as many of them as we can here. The first series up for discussion is Buddy Complex, which, Foshin Highway, you guys have been watching.
Yeah, I've been watching that. I actually like it. For me, it's not a bad series, but I don't have a lot of mecha series to compare it to. The only problem with it, it's the series I'm most likely to yell at the screen about, just because the characters just do stupid crap.
I know.
And there's this one character, that the political officer character. Every time she comes on, all I think she should say to anyone else is, shut up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because everyone's just giving her a hard time. She should be like, shut up.
Yeah. There's only one thing about the show I like. They have this like Pacific Rim style combat where two pilots can merge their mind into one. And they basically share each other's combat experience. So you have Alba, who has no combat experience whatsoever. And Dio, who's an experienced fighter, he's done all these battles and things. And he basically, Alba can gain Dio's knowledge of fighting, and he becomes a pro pilot. That part's kind of cool, but for me, since I've seen so many Gundams and Mecha, it's very copy-paste of, like, Gundam Seed. You know, you have, like, Kira, in the beginning, he's not a fighter, and he gets put in this war situation, and he becomes this badass, and kind of the same, similar situation.
Okay. Next up is Defrag, also Foshin Highway.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of like Bokuwa Tomodachi. It's very club-driven. They're, you know, all these characters doing goofy things all day. And it's a club where they make video games. And we did a live watch about, I think, up to 4 or 5, and yeah, I just kind of dropped it a little bit for that. But I still watched it, and I found it very, very, like a series I could enjoy every week. It made me laugh every time. Especially the character interactions.
Yeah, it was a real, real comedic series, and maybe it was a little bit too much Tsukomi response stuff from Kazuma, just because, I mean, the series is just way out there. The characters are way out there and just being crazy. I mean, they're more Chunibyo than the people in the actual Chunibyo series.
Right.
But, it was interesting to have just a guy responding like that to a show, and it was just a funny show to watch.
Yeah, and I think Takao and Kazuma, the main two, they're kind of a couple-ish almost group. They're together. They, I don't know, later on I could see them getting together, but they're pretty fun to watch together. She's always blushing around him, and he's always...
I have to get through Roka for that.
Yeah, Roka's a little... He's a little clingy at times. He can't be.
Yep.
All right, we'll move on to Gundam Build Fighters, Fosh.
Yeah, this one's like a dramatic, just like a very dramatic take from the regular Gundam. We have a war and people fighting and two factions against each other. This one's more laid back, like kind of like Robotic Notes, the beginning where you have this robot tournament. And these kids can take these models they build and actually put them in this 3D environment and fight with them against other people. And it's more of a tournament-based Gundam, which is vastly different than any other Gundam I've seen. It's more, I guess, about young kids, but I think that's the drawback on it. All the main characters are technically like 12, 14-year-old boys and girls that basically fight in these tournaments. Hmm. But there are some adults that play the game as well, so it's very different. They even have a part where the Gundams play baseball. It's pretty funny. I like that one.
So this kind of, that makes me think of Gunbuster, actually.
Oh, yeah.
That first episode, you had the robots doing like pull-ups and push-ups.
And I guess the main draw of that series I liked was the combat. We see like all Gundams from every series in there. We have like a Gundam from 00 fighting like Wing Zero, and to see stuff like that, it's really awesome. It's like every Gundam like fan fiction writer's dream right there. To see like the Tall Geese fighting I don't know, like the original Gundam. The very first one.
Yeah,
so just seeing things like that is really neat, and just how the characters interact, and there's a lot of pairings in that show. For a kids show, there's a lot of like guys and girls that match up pretty well, almost like log rides, and how you have all these couples. It's pretty interesting.
I want to watch this one. I haven't yet, because hearing you and so many others that like the show talking about it, it's different from most Gundam series because it's not all about war and politics and all of that stuff. Right. And that it just seems like an easy and more enjoyable watch than most other Gundam shows.
And I would say it's probably the shortest Gundam I've ever seen. I think it's going to be 26 episodes and that's it. Yeah, most Gundams are like 50 or 40. It's like, it's a surprise to see him go from that to something smaller scale than 26 episodes.
Mm-hmm. All right, Fosh. Hamatora, the animation. Yeah, you had a chuckle there.
Yes, I don't know. This one, it's. I think it's trying too hard to be... It wants to be Durarara with like superpowers. So, it's, you know, he follows this detective agency of people that have abilities called... I forget what they call them, but... minimum holders, that's what they're called. And all these people in the first half is like, they're detectives, so they go on these cases. And you have two split cases that are two different. And by the end of the episode, they come together and it's the same case they're all working on. So, but near the end, it becomes kind of like X-Men-ish, where the humans are, you know, persecuting the I guess, people of power. So they're like, you know, kill the people of powers because they're not normal. Hmm. And I don't know, I just think the animation was kind of bad. It's coming from a studio that doesn't do much, I understand. But, I don't know, the characters are boring to me. Like, the names, they have someone named Birthday. I'm like, that to me is kind of dumb. I don't understand why. I mean, if he had, like, firepower, I would understand, but he doesn't. So, it's kind of stupid. And, I don't know, I just found it to be very boring.
I will talk about Hajime no Ippo Rising. This was another great season of Ippo and some really great fights. Quite possibly the best collection of fights in a season of Ippo. There have been three seasons in the past and some OVAs and stuff. Like Ippo's defense, title defense was great. Takamura going for his second championship belt was great. Aoki's fight against the Super Series dude who I can't remember his name. That was hilarious, as I would hope an Aoki championship belt would be, just so stupid. Him going up, just being a buffoon going up against a Super Serious dude. And I wasn't too crazy about the final arc until the last episode, because it was a flashback to post-1940s, post-World War II, and it was about Kamigawa, the guy that owns the gym and is the head coach, but... That last episode, the animation in that fight was just incredible, and Madhouse has just done another amazing job with the animation in Hajime no Ippo and just sort of adding to the excitement of boxing in that anime. Hozuki no Reitetsu, none of us watch it. Maybe it's a little too Japanesey or something.
I watched the first episode of it, and it was funny, but it just really wasn't anything that caught my eye and made me want to keep watching it.
Yeah, right. Same here. I've seen like the first five, and I was like, eh, I can't do anymore. I gave up.
Yeah. Hunter x Hunter, the turtles speed of pacing an anime.
Where everything's narrated.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the narrator is really making some money, really earning some dough here with, this pacing is pretty much exactly the same, apparently, as it was in the manga, just very slow, but still very interesting, and it's really, unlike most shonen shows, I feel like it's one that is very easy to blog about because there's so many themes that can be looked at in so many parts of a character that can be assessed. And we've seen with the King this just as recently as episode 122 that who's the old guy?
I forgot his name.
But the old guy that's fighting against the King is realizing that he's basically half ant, half human, and that no side is dominant, and that there's the King has really changed ever since we first saw him, and especially with Komugi and constantly losing to her in that game of Gungi has really changed his personality, and we've seen the others change too. Yopi is no more just sort of a meathead that fights, and Pito is much different than she is. And then Gon has gone basically into, you know, a little psychopath there, just sitting there watching Pito, waiting for her to heal Kamugi just so he can just beat the snot out of her. Very intense stuff in Hunter x Hunter, yeah. And that's what makes it so great.
Yeah, that scene where he's, like, standing there watching her, and he sees her, because, mm-hmm. you know, she killed his best friend, so he's just like, he doesn't care what she's doing, he wants revenge, no matter what happens, and this is like, he's like 15, 14-year-old boy?
Yeah.
And he's hell-bent on revenge, he's just like, I'm just gonna kill you, I don't care. He's like, mm-hmm. And that's very dark for a shonen. You know, you just see a character go that psycho. I mean, Luffy in One Piece doesn't even do that. You know, Ichigo and Bleach never ever goes that dark, so yeah. It's like, to see a shonen character, especially a main who's that young, just go,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't care about anyone else right now but getting revenge. Like,
And Gon is the most happy-go-lucky character in the whole series.
Yeah,
he's almost like Kurapika in the Phantom Troop arc if you turned it up to 10.
Yeah,
with that level of intensity and just, you know, so hell-bent on revenge.
Right.
Do you guys know the Anime Maru site? Has the parody news articles.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
It was started by Kiva from Deus Ex Machina after he stopped that. But they had an article recently. Headlines: researchers, time in Hunter x Hunter will stop completely by episode 150.
Yeah, actually,
The opening sentence says, researchers at CERN's Large Hadron Collider have announced findings of a study into the contraction of space-time in the anime Hunter x Hunter. According to their findings, the pace of the show has slowed so much that by episode 150, time will stop completely.
Yeah, it's like, if take a picture of that guy, he's making a sandwich. Everything he's doing is narrated, like, he's putting the bread down, and like, the cheese, like, and it takes like 20 minutes to get through it. It's like, really?
Yeah, there's that one point where one of the episodes ended, and they were maybe about 11 episodes into this whole mission to defeat the king and the royal guard, and they said, since they arrived, 8 minutes have passed.
Oh my god, yeah.
That was 11 episodes, or whatever ago.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Dragon Ball Z and the whole Frieza saga. You know, they had said the planet's going to blow up in 3 hours, and that 3 hours stretches, like, to 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and you're like, okay, the planet would have been blown up by now.
Yeah. Oh, and also, Nov. Poor Nov. But it's so hilarious. Like, this guy, his hair went gray, and now he's bald, and now he's just so miserable.
Oh, yeah,
he
did.
Yeah, he was just scared out of his mind. So we got a big one to talk about here. Kill La Kill, the, you know, trigger ending, Gainax ending, technically.
I'm gonna let Min go on this one.
Him go first.
Yeah, so Kill La Kill, like, that's the big show of the last two seasons, isn't it? It was supposed to save anime, and it ended a couple days ago as we record on a Saturday, and, well, it sure was, as you say, it's a Gainax ending. It invoked a whole bunch of, like, other endings that we've seen before, not the least of which was End of Evangelion, with just the Earth and all the humans being, like, taken over into one super being and all that. But, of course, it has its own kill-a-kill twist to everything. I liked it a lot. It's incredibly indulgent in itself, a lot like Imaishi's, you know, other famous work, Tekken Toppa Gurren Lagann. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's something that I don't really take too seriously, just as long as it keeps being energetic and just going over the top with every step, I was enjoying it, and that's what it did for the most part.
I think it was a really good series throughout. Now, it did really pick up once the whole sports festival happened, where Satsuki was intending to betray her mom, but the mom and Harume were together, and they took over sort of Ryuko in a way. And it was just incredibly fun. I mean, I don't know what other way you could say other than it was just fun and exciting. And that finale was just so action-packed. Everybody's doing something. Everything's happening so fast. The ups and downs of that battle was just very exciting.
Yeah, and it actually had some pretty good animation in the final episode. Like, Trigger's normal style is a lot of still shots, not a lot of animation, but, you know, it's very stylized and works very well for what it does, but at the same time, it's not technically very very excellent. But the final episode was, for the most part.
Yeah, I'll say the same as you guys said. It's just, it's very fun. There's moments you just catch yourself like this, you know, you almost lose track of time when you're watching it, because everything's happening so fast, and you're trying to keep up with all it, and, like, you know, Mako's doing something crazy, and Riko's fighting, and when she gets into a fight, it's just, it's crazy. I love how she really gets into it and just, you're beating the hell out of someone.
The Mako under the light doing all of her poses was always hilarious, and especially when Harume was just like, I've had enough of your stick.
Yeah, actually, I was with Harume there. I'm not a huge fan of Mako, and I'm one of the few people who isn't, I think, because she's so popular, but yeah, I got tired of her shtick. I liked Harime Nui a lot, actually. I didn't get tired of her shtick, where she just, I don't know, she just really, really cartoony. Like, she, I think, more than even the other characters, just was always depicted in some sort of super cartoony, over-the-top way.
She's always got that creepy smile on her face. It's like, nothing phases her.
But with when she loses her arms...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like...
That was crazy.
Just, yeah. Her just going all psycho, super sewing mode, I guess. Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, when she lost her arms, like, the expression just changed from, like, the normal face we're used to something else. You're like, oh, crap. Like, I was scared of her. I'm like, oh my god, she's gonna do something dangerous. And yeah, it's, I don't know, all the characters I found, like, all likable. I didn't find any character that I just did not hate or hated on. But yeah, I always keep hearing speculation that people are like, oh, season two. I'm like, what would they do? I mean, sure, the Life Fabs are still out there, but are they gonna do, like, a new alien race shows up and it starts over again? I mean, I don't know what they say.
It wouldn't be.
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot like Gurren Lagann, where this story ended.
And Senketsu's gone, so it's like, you know, what's going to happen there? I mean,
and they committed to that, which was good.
Yeah, right. that was so great. That final bit where she's falling, and then and then it goes to the ending with the date.
And the other part where everyone's naked.
That's
naked
how I thought it was going to end.
Well, I just loved how she's falling down, and then Satsuki catches her, and then they suddenly start going sideways. Like, her velocity went from downwards to sideways in, like, an instant.
And Gamagori, his giant hands to catch there. I'm like, wow. It's crazy. That guy was like, he's like a blob, I swear. He's normal size, and then he's like a giant. I'm like, how big is this dude here? I mean, really?
Yeah.
And I love the whole thing with him and Mako. It's like, you can see something there. There's something there, but it's not really
That was a relationship that a lot of people enjoyed, and then I think it was maybe 16 or so. It was kind of canonical.
Right.
And it was like, okay,
or at the very least, he likes her. I don't think she's really shown any signs of responding.
And then they got to mention Sasuke's haircut at the end, like short hair. Yeah, that's pretty good. All natural hair. I'm like,
You know what's funny? I saw someone on Twitter post a picture of that Sasuke with Mako from Pacific Rim. And they got the exact same hairstyle.
Oh yeah, they do.
I really like that on Sasuke. The haircut looks good.
Yeah. And the soundtrack, I mean, I don't know. The soundtrack is just, I could play it all day.
They put in all the main music in that final episode, Body is Dry and the opening themes. That was so we'll move on now to Maho Senso, which the ending.
Magical, try to be Fate Stay Night, but can't do it series. That's what that is. Because it's just got all these, like, cliche things. Like, the guy finds this... He's getting the main guy's getting a weapon in, like, episode, I think, 2 or 3. And he happens to grab the most powerful weapon ever created in that world, I guess. I'm like, really?
Two episodes and I was done. It was so bad.
It is.
I didn't last past the first, so.
There's not a single character in that series I actually like. I don't even like anyone in there. I'm like, if the main girl died, I would have left. It's like, I don't know. She's clingy. And she's like a syscon. She's worried about her brother for like the first, I think, half the series. Every episode's like, I gotta find my brother. I'm like, we get it. We know. Don't tell us every episode. So, and then what the ending is just kind of, yeah, these two brothers, they're on a rival side. So he's fighting his brother. And I guess it just ends. Like, they're fighting, and you don't really get to see the full conclusion of this fight. And I don't know. That's just a mess on what they're thinking. But I know that the original creator did not want it to become the anime, so maybe that's why it's not very good.
All right, a couple of those Nobunaga shows to talk about. The first one, Nobunaga the Fool, Vosh.
Yeah, this one, I think a lot of people just don't like how they're mixing the Western and Eastern like mythology characters, like Leonardo da Vinci, Julius Caesar. You know, all these characters are stuck in the same universe, and for the most part it works. The beginning was a little crazy because they're trying to introduce the characters, and it is a little silly to have, like, you know, Oda Nobunaga and Julius Caesar in the same universe. Like, okay, this is kind of weird. But when they get to the mech fights, I like that part of the series, for me anyway. And the voice cast, I think, is what kind of got me into this. You know, yeah, Murano is the main dude. I like mm-hmm. him. And Tomokazu Sugata is Leonardo da Vinci, and he's just a crazy character. I like him.
Wait, did you say Aya Hirata?
No, Miyar Murano, whatever his name is. He's from Star Trek.
Miyano.
Yeah, okay. He's in that. So he's, you know, he's good at those kind of roles. But yeah, I know a lot of people don't really like it because, like I said, the history buffs don't like it because it's mixing things.
And Joan of Arc in there.
Too. Yeah, Joan of Arc's in there. And so it's a lot of, like, I don't know. Maybe a little Phase Zero-ish. We have all these historical characters.
And the other one, Nobunagun, which the rest of you guys are watching.
Yeah, this is one I really like. I've really liked it since the very beginning. It's refreshingly limited, but very tactically diverse and very imaginative. Both the look is very imaginative and the way they fight and stuff. So I really enjoy the way the fights come together with each of the characters basically having one power, and they have to figure out how to use the one power they have effectively.
Is that what you mean by tactically imaginative?
Yes. Like in the first episode when they had Nobunaga, or maybe it was the second, I guess it was the first, when Nobunaga was so inaccurate with her firing because of the recoil, and they got Newton to step on her back with like three gravities of force to stabilize her gun. Or in the last episode that they haven't finished the series as of our talk here, but last episode when Shio had to surf the wave of fire on her ammo belt. I mean, just coming up with stuff like that is just really imaginative.
Or using it as a jetpack when she's skydiving.
Yeah, using it as a jetpack.
Yeah, I like the bit where Jack was holding on to her and aiming her so that he could aim his way towards the... Yeah, I also liked it a lot at the start, but as the show's gone on, I've found myself enjoying it less. I think the main thing is that it's not animated that well, a lot of the fights. And yeah, the arts, I really do like the art design, the costume design especially. It reminds me a little bit of, say, Mega Man, and also like the mouthpieces remind me a bit of Metal Gear Solid, specifically Rising. And I think, yeah, it does have great visual design, but just the combat animations, they get to me a bit.
Yeah. I think I like the combat when Aura goes to like Nobunaga mode and her eyes turn red and she's like just going crazy with it, almost like Ruko in Kill la Kill. How, you know, when in a, during the middle of a fight she just goes crazy and she's doing all these crazy things, and like you were saying, uses her ability in a certain way, like, you know, going across water or skydiving or things like that. And she teams up with someone. I like the team ups when they kind of combine their abilities and work together. It's kind of nice. And like Livin was saying about the uniforms, the outfits are kind of cool. It's like, I noticed with the ogres, it's kind of like a school uniform almost. A little bit, you got that stuff on the, I guess, neck area. It's kind of neat, and yeah, I like that one. It's fun.
All right, one of the farming animes we'll be talking about, No Rin Highway. You've been watching this one.
No, I was excited for this show at the start, and it's been kind of two faces to it. There's been like the slapstick comedy part that kind of doesn't work for me, and then there's kind of the more serious and relationship part that does work. The comedy part just gets a little too over the top with like overpowered characters. I mean, it's not like they're fighting or anything, but they're just so tropey that it throws the show off, I think. So I'm not a real big fan of like the comedy parts. But when it gets to being Ringo and Kosuke and Minori and Kei and even Opai, whatever her real name is, the relationships work a lot better, and I really enjoy that part of the show and wish there was more of that.
The one thing I like about the show, they have these references. I think there was a JoJo reference in one of the episodes somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a bunch of Dragon Ball Z ones in there. And there's one episode that kind of made roll my eyes a little, when he's driving the bus and it's raining, storming, they're trying to get the bus in front of the crops to, like, I guess, keep the wind from knocking him over. And he's just like driving this bus, like almost like power slides it at one point. I thought he did anyway. And he had the main girl like leaning out the window. He's holding on to her while he's driving. And she's trying to guide him. He's like, that just seemed weird to me. I'm like, you're gonna kill someone, I swear.
Alright, another shonen show to talk about. One Piece. Dressrosa is happening right now. We're watching some of the block battles so far to determine who will win Ace's Marimara no Mi fruit. And that's basically what the past three or so episodes have been about. There's been some stuff with Bartolomeo, but also a very funny moment between Luffy, Cavendish, and Don Chinzhao, where Cavendish says, oh, if you were Luffy, I'd have to kill you right away. And Chinzhao is like, you know, I'm gonna get you for what your grandfather did to me. And he's saying, I don't care about that. Are you Luffy? No, I'm not Luffy. He's having two different conversations and trying to lie to the other guy while talking to the other guy right there in the open. But elsewise, it's been pretty enjoyable. And I'm still waiting for sort of the more exciting moments of this arc with the exchange of Caesar to Doflamingo.
Yeah, it's getting good. I mean, my only complaint is the arena stuff's taking a little too long, but I remember reading the manga. It was chapter by chapter by chapter every week. Mm-hmm. And it is nice seeing that, after reading the manga, just seeing some of the stuff animated. It's really, that's what I think that's the biggest reward of like reading the manga and watching the anime together. Mm-hmm. You get to see like some of the cool fights, like animated, and the music and the people talk, the voice acting and all this stuff. But I'm like you, I'm waiting for the whole when they give Caesar to the other guys, just to see that, because there's some cool fights coming up after that.
Yeah,
so I'm really excited for that one. And I showed my brother this series. He doesn't read the manga, so it's fun seeing his reaction to some of the stuff that he's going to be seeing.
Happens
soon.
Each week, yeah.
Yeah, so it's fun.
Cool. All right, so Fosh and Min, you guys made it through Samurai Flamenco.
How?
Congrats, I guess.
I know, that's an achievement.
Well, so, I don't know, when did you guys drop it, or when?
I dropped it after the first Voltron battle.
And I never really watched.
Okay. Yeah, that show's had its moments, or like that show had its ups and downs. I, you know, a lot of people I noticed were kind of down on it after its first kind of big turn into Sentai, like straight up Sentai, not even parody, but like homage, I guess. It's just straight up copying all these visual tropes from these shows from the 70s and 80s. For me, I wasn't really into this show up until that point because I found it kind of boring. Like, I've said it before, but it was a lot like Kick-Ass, but not fun. And then, yeah, I just decided to keep watching because it was so crazy. And, like, about four episodes from the end, they kind of explain why all this has been happening. It's not, like, a very satisfying explanation, I'd say. At the same time, it kind of ties everything up neatly, I guess. I wasn't a huge fan of the last four episodes, which had its own arc relating to the policeman, Goto-san.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, ultimately, I'm glad it existed, and I had fun watching it. It's certainly not for everyone, though.
Yeah, that's true. So the people that are looking for like to be a serious show, like you were saying, like Kick-Ass and like that, at the beginning it had potential to be like a cool show like that. But then introduced that guillotine gorilla and it kept everyone off guard, and you're like, oh my god! And someone gets head cut off, and people are dying. That was kind of shocking, but you know, everyone after that was like wondering, okay, is this a dream? Is it going to be a dream next episode? And no, they ran with it for
right. So they go to the robots, and then they go, at least yeah, and then yeah. They bring in the prime minister.
Oh god,
who's a bad guy, but then actually a good guy fighting against the aliens.
Uh-huh.
And then they eventually go to the moon for a very. It felt a very like Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann type fight.
Yeah.
Where they're just, yeah, kind of throwing everything.
So was this show laid out by like third graders or something?
It might have been.
Well, no,
the way you're describing it.
It clearly had like, you know, a mission, but it part of it was that it's just, I don't know, the nonsensicality or the nonsense of it was part of its whole message. It ultimately, it's a very meta, like it's gratuitously meta, like to the extent where they actually mention, you know, there are other universes with
mm-hmm.
where you know, none of this happened, but it exists only as like a TV show for people to watch.
And like the title Flamenco is actually a title for, I guess, of different people in the universe. There's a flamenco from every era, I guess, apparently.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but then we get, like, the flamenco girls. You know, I like their stuff. I mean, because it's more serious with them. Especially
yeah.
Especially the part when the girl gets kidnapped, it's like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, great music, I'll say. Great ending themes by the, that band, Mineral Miracle Muse.
Yeah, and
one
had
of
that.
My ringtone.
Yeah, he had one of the girls, like, she was kind of crushing on Goto a little bit. You know, yep. She had a thing for him, but they never really explored that. I was like, oh my god, are they going to show it? But they're not, because you know, the whole thing with Goto, his girlfriend, you know, spoilers, you know, his girlfriend died or went missing.
Yeah,
and he never found her.
Yeah, that's the bit where he's always texting his girlfriend. Turns out he's actually always texting himself.
Yeah, he's texting himself. And that was like, that was kind of shocking, but then I was like, oh my god, this guy really needs some help. What the hell's going on? And the conclusion of the last arc, you have this one kid who's like, he's kind of, I guess, tormenting all of the main guy's friends and people he's associated with. And this kid gets the phone, Goto's on the phone, deletes all the old messages from his girlfriend, and Goto goes ballistic. He wants to kill this kid.
Yeah.
He doesn't care if he gets in trouble because he's a cop. He's like, I'm going to kill him. You know, let me off these cuffs. I'm just going to, you know, take him out here right now. And then the main guy walks in, he starts taking his clothes off. And he's naked at the very end of the episode.
And he asks Goto to marry him.
He does, yeah. He's like, I'll be your girlfriend.
Huge,
like,
huge service for the Fujoshi.
Right. And he said that. He was like, I can do everything your girlfriend can do. I'm like, oh my god. What is going on? And that's pretty much like the end. It's like, I don't know. I just felt like it had potential to be a cool superhero show. But I don't know. Something went wrong halfway through. For me, anyway.
All right. Next up is Seitokai Yakuin Demo.
You should add a bleep sound effect in that.
I have that, so I can put that in.
Oh, yeah.
The second series, and it's a lot like the first series. I mean, if you like sex and period jokes, there you go. But it's actually kept it as fresh as it could. I mean, they've done a lot more cut-ins with the second series. The Squid and Takatoshi omakes are just off the rack, I guess. It's just, and there's all sorts of like girl tension with Tsuda just oblivious to it because no one's doing anything, but all the girls seem to have a crush on Tsuda.
Yeah, and the student council president of the other school kind of suddenly became a major character this season because, one of her family members got married to one of his family members, so they became cousins. So now he calls her One-chan? One-san?
Makes him call her that.
Yeah. And
I like that character.
She's great. She's a lot like Shino.
She's very much like Shino. That's kind of the whole point, that she's not as... She's like a less out there Shino.
I love when she's around and she's like talking to someone and she ran over a hug. Suzu just like turns around, hugs her. Like, and Suzu's like, could you put me down? Like, stop hugging me. Yeah, like, and her, you know, I got her voice actress. And she does a good job with that, yeah. When she's around the screen, it's like, oh, it's kind of a breath of fresh air a little bit, but she is kind of the same as Shino in certain ways, but yeah. And I gotta say, the animation, oh my god, background artwork, I don't know what they did, but Gohan's like doing a really good job with the animation in that show.
Yeah, that's something that's really improved. It's really improved from the first series. The first series was just the same hallway shot again and again and again, and the same outdoor shot again and again and again. And this time, there's been none of that. The first one just felt really cheap. Like, we've got one shot of two girls in the hallway, and that's what we're going to use. And they haven't used any reuse of scenes like that. And the show's just looked beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. And it's fun, you know. Every week I kind of look forward to this one. Just like Defrag, it just makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. I've yet to find an episode that is like, oh, this is boring. Like, every episode is it's fun. But I'm going to miss it when it's over because, I don't know, I like it.
I like that they've had more of Nene in there this season. Uh-huh. It's just her character being stuck on sex toys is funny to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a show that, again, when you put it on paper, it just doesn't seem like it should be that funny. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same jokes over and over again. We're running on at over 25 episodes, including the OVAs of it, and it's still funny every time.
Yeah, and I think this one's sort of almost hinting at somewhat romance. We're talking about it off air, but there's something there. I mean, it's not the main focus, obviously, but yeah, they keep hinting at it every other week. It's funny.
And next up is Silver Spoon Season 2, or the fall chapter of Silver Spoon. This, much like the next series we're going to talk about, I'm going to miss because it was very much comfort anime for me. It was a show that, unlike all the others that I watched, I could count on to be enjoyable. And I guess it's just the nature of shows like Silver Spoon that... there's no crazy action stuff. It's just kind of like just living with the characters and watching them interact and watching them grow. And that was a great thing about this season, was watching Hachiken sort of become more involved in other people's lives and, overexerting himself with the festival and passing out and... especially with Aki and Komaba after Komaba's family went bankrupt and he had to sell the farm, and getting himself involved with Aki and sort of getting her to chase her dream in almost kind of like in an odd way to kind of spite his dad. The dad character, he just isn't a good dad.
No, he's like, not.
There's nothing redeeming there about him. There's no sort of like, he's tough, but he's fair. He's not a good dad.
And there's no heart of gold there. No. It's just coal.
Yeah, he's cold and emotionless. Can't even say food tastes good. Heaven forbid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. And that I think it's close to the end, episode 10, or maybe in the final episode, he makes a comment to us in that, you know, if you're going to teach someone else, like, I don't know, help them study to pass, and you haven't passed it either. I was like, damn, that's when I was like, dang, this guy's cruel. But
really harsh, yeah.
And then he just yells, and then the mom's just kind of sitting there like, this is cool. Like, oh. That, like, but, I mean, that's just, I know that's how it is over there, and, you know, with family certain ways, but families are like that. So,
and that was really nice to see this season, too, more of his mom and dad, because we had seen little bits in season one about, oh, maybe he went to this school because of this, and we learned so much more about, you know, his studies, and that the father wasn't very nice, but at least the mom was very nice, and having her sort of see his friends and what they do, that was very nice, and her reactions to the food and eating the food and stuff, that was really great.
Right, just seeing how hard he works, you know, physical labor.
Yeah, that was
that's pretty cool. You know?
That was a really good thing to have in the finale, have his mom just come out there.
And then we get sort of like, you know, Hachiken-Haki sort of ship, I guess, maybe?
I think they're both getting there. Yeah. They're both getting there, yeah.
At least Aki's kind of aware of it. She said something before that, you know, and one of the girls keeps teasing her about it, like...
The girls are teasing her about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was episode 5, and I really liked the two scenes of that episode where he asked her, hey, do you want to go somewhere and have fun, just the two of us? And she says yes, and there's jets flying over, and she's all happy and stuff, and that was great. And then the girl's giving her grief when she wasn't catching on to those signals.
And then, yeah, like, that, and I was going to say, the other character I like was Tomoko, when she's getting, like, she gets real thin for the festival. I'm like, wow, she looks great, but afterwards, like, oh my god, no. Gets fat again, like, oh.
Like, they have some liposuction thing.
Don't they make the comment to her, like, they're like, why don't you stay that way? And she's just like, no.
Yeah, she's like, that's too much work.
It's true, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, it's a cast of characters that you get to watch every week, and it's fun, and like you said, I'm going to miss it too, here and there. I mean, season 3, I could see him doing it, but we'll see what happens.
All right, and that other series that I'm going to miss is Space Bros, and it was very sudden that Space Bros wasn't going to be on anymore, because 98 had aired, and then we found out from some Twitter posts on the Space Bros account, episode 99 is going to be the last, and I was very sad for a while. It's like, this anime, more so than, you know, maybe except for One Piece, I could just really enjoy and love, and Muta has become one of my favorite characters in anime from watching this series. He's such a really interesting guy and very funny, kind of goofy in ways, but also can be a genius. Like, he had some moments there from about the 60s, the 70s or 80s, where he was coming up with really great ideas that NASA could use, and you know, learning the jet flying with the young guy, who's not young, he's very old, but has a very unique way of teaching his co-pilots how to fly. Just great character stories to watch, especially with Hibito and the drama of him and Damien, their situation on the moon in which they crashed and had to be rescued, and Hibito's panic disorder later in the season. But a good spot to end, considering what happens, that they skip 6 months in the series, and they kind of, you know, we'll see what happens. There's going to be a movie. It's not going to be based on the manga. It's going to be an original story. So hopefully in about a year or two, Space Bros will be back. I hope so, because I love that series so much.
Don't they have a live action movie coming out for that?
Yeah, they do. Oh, they do too.
Yeah.
The movie that I'm talking about will be in anime.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. But I do think there's live action also.
Nice.
We have two more series to talk about. First is Wake Up Girls, Highway and Fosh.
Wake Up Girls. It was a a good enough show that it is an idol show that didn't really present idols very well, though. And I like the music. I like the story. I had a hard time getting kind of a handle on what the show was supposed to be. Was it supposed to be the triumph of Wake Up Girls? Was it supposed to be beating down Wake Up Girls? It ended up kind of just going in a middle path where they were always, they're always doing better, but they're always getting kind of knocked back. And it never was really comedy. It never was really drama. It was just a show. And the music was good. And the animation was terrible.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I mean, after I watched the last episode today, I actually tweeted. I'm like, which has better animation, Wake Up Girls or Maria-sama Gamitaru? Because that one, I love Maria-sama, but I mean, most of the animation is still shots.
Well, yeah, they're supposed to walk very slowly there.
Yeah, they walk very slowly, and most of the time they avoid showing them walking at all. I mean, most of the animation was just mouths moving. So.
And when they dance, too, it's like, this person's sliding. Like, okay, where's their feet? You don't see no feet.
This person's sliding. And now they're stretched to weird proportions. And now
everyone's the same height. That kind of bugged me, too. I'm like, there's clearly girls in that group that are shorter than the other ones.
Right.
It's like, when they dance, they're all the same height. I'm like, what? Did they just grow for the you know, for the performance. And I'm still kind of bugged on the OVA / first episode where they jump in the air and they flash their panties. Like,
yeah, just okay, random panty flash.
Just, why not? Why not? I guess, you know, throw it in there.
The worst had to have been the first-rate smile performance from the qualifying. That was, I mean, it was all like just shots of people's heads. There's almost no dancing at all.
Yep.
It's like the best dancing was the practice where they showed Hayazawa that they had done Seven Girls War.
And yeah.
It was just terrible.
Go ahead.
And the cliche of Yoshino like twisting her ankle.
Oh God.
On the last, it's like you can't just have them go out and perform and not win. She's got to twist her ankle and have all this drama and oh, we got to quit. No, we can't quit. You guys go on without me. And
we're a team.
We're a team. Yeah. And despite all this, I like the show, but it didn't really have to do that stuff.
Right. It's like you have one job, watch the chords, don't trip over them. They're like, oh, tripped, oh, she's out. I'm like, oh, come on. And then A1, whatever, they come in, they bring their doctors and they fix her up just because the other girl wants to, you know, challenge her equally. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't bring in Mr. Miyagi with his.
Yeah, exactly. I'll heal this. Bring in the healers. But yeah, like you were saying, the animation's bad. The story, it was decent at times, low points at times, and some episodes are boring, but there are some episodes that are a little creepy, like when they're wearing all those like skimpy little bikinis and they're at this bar serving these drunk guys. I'm like, oh, wow, yeah. That was horrible.
Yeah, that really did push it. It was just a weird show. Yeah. It's hard to get a handle on.
Yeah.
It seems to me like if you haven't watched The Idolmaster, watch that instead of this. And if you've already watched The Idolmaster, then why bother?
Well, yeah, I haven't watched Idolmaster. I've watched Love
Live. You would like it. I think you'd like Idolmaster.
But it wasn't a bad show, and it had some good music.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, both the OP and the ED are great songs. I really like them. Now it's kind of cheap that they reused the OP as their big song at the end.
It is.
but it wasn't a horrible song to do.
Yeah.
All right, and the last show for discussion is Wizard Barristers. Highway, court is in order.
Wizard Barristers is a pretty good show that they screwed up on really badly. I don't know what the heck possessed them to do it. I mean, the show's been going along fine. It's wizards versus humans, and the wizards all get persecuted by the humans, and the wizards need representation in court because apparently the merest use of magic is going to get you the death penalty. there's this whole big thing with Cecil and that she's like the coming of the vessel for Lucifer and all sorts of it was kind of a weird out there story. But the real problem with the show was that episode 11 last week, they didn't finish it. They didn't get anywhere close to finishing it. They used it was just terrible. Like if Girls in Panzer had not pulled their last two episodes and moved them 3 months later, it would have turned out like this. Or it couldn't have been this bad. I mean, they put out just the big death scene where they're shooting this main character was the same gunshot than two people facing off across the rooftop, recycled back and forth with just the dialogue. It was really awful.
Yeah, that sounds like that was atrocious. Maybe Arms was getting to work on that Bjørnhildr show a little early, and
maybe I don't know what Arms was doing. Whether it was, I heard a rumor that they were working on producing BDs for other series, or maybe it was for the first part of Wizard Barristers. But I mean, what are they spending all their animation time on doing? Want to be the strongest in the world? Blu-rays.
Yeah, those Blu-rays. Yeah.
Yeah. The mud wrestling, obviously important.
Yeah.
But yeah, I watched that Wizard Barristers for about, I think, four episodes. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't Law and Order, you know, magical people, whatever. So yeah, I don't know. I probably won't finish it, but from what I hear from you, Highway. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the story was going well, and I was actually looking forward to it, and then it laid a stinky, rotten egg.
Yeah, that sucks.
A bad note to end on, but that's what we're going to end on for the discussion. I know there's some other shows that we kind of passed over, Precure, for example. I think there's a couple others.
Yowamushi Petal. Which is so slow.
Riding bikes at the speed of slow.
They took the whole episode to go less than like 800 yards last episode.
So it's Hunter X.
You're still watching it?
Yeah, I'm still watching it.
So I dropped it in the middle of that first race, that initiation race. Mm-hmm. How many more episodes did that go?
Well, they got to the first hill. Uh-huh. And what's his name? The Can Do It guy with the glasses.
Short guy? Yeah. Or the main guy?
Yeah, the main guy. He actually won the climb up the first hill and then mm-hmm. collapsed, and that was the end of that.
Oh, okay. He died. I'm just kidding. If only, I mean. But yeah, I'm still watching it.
Then they had a training arc after that.
Uh-huh, they did.
And now they're finally in the final Inter-High championship. And I think they're four episodes into it now, and they haven't made it through like the first 5 kilometer sprint.
They're doing that training arc. You have a little boy crush going on there. There's these two guys, I swear, it's like, just kiss them already. It's like, I know you're looking at them that way. You're like, come on, Naga would love that. I'm not surprised she's not watching it, but if she was, she's probably enjoying all that.
She would love the romance between the second.
Yeah. They are like this. It's something. Just I don't know. It's definitely a show that's out there. It takes a while. Like I said, it's Hunter x Hunter on bikes. Basically, it takes forever.
And all right, let's wrap up episode 39 of the Metaverse podcast. Metanor.net is the website. You can go there to check out all the blogs and podcasts and mini talks and stuff. The spring 2014 anime catalog should be up pretty soon. That is getting worked on right now by the team and should be up soon, previewing over 40 new shows for the season. And, you know, we'll be having, you know, lots of first impressions over the next couple weeks, surely.
Yep, and Howie's going to blog every single show. So we're all retiring, you know. Enjoy. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, that would be funny. And speaking of the mini talks, Fosh and I will be doing mini talks for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stardust Crusaders next season, and maybe another show to be determined. Anything else you guys want to plug for the site or yourselves or whatever?
Not really. Just,
nope, nothing for me.
That's good.
Nice having the listeners comment. And I think the only thing I would say is if you got suggestions for other topics, other ideas, you know, things to keep it lively, but I guess you can always let us know in the comments.
Yep. Comment at menorn.net or .com works. It'll just redirect you to .net.
Oh, really? I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for Fosh, Man and Highway, I'm Jero. We will see you next time on the Metaverse Podcast.
Bye. Don't know that it